In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words again from the first lesson. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and the Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, and woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. What a powerful and scary word of God. Hollywood would have a heyday depicting it on film or a video. Satan and his angels flying all over the place as Michael throws them out of heaven. This second lesson for this day of St. Michael and all angels is a record of perhaps the strangest event in the Bible, war in heaven. Yes, rebellion had broken out even in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but war is so different from what I think about when it comes to heaven, and especially angels. When I think of angels, I think of halos and harps and wings. The great hymns of the liturgy also come to mind. I think of the angels leading us in the entire church in praise to God. We join them as in the matins we sing, To thee all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To them cherubim and seraphim continually do cry. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory. We also join the angels in the song they sang at the birth of our Lord. And every time before we celebrate the sacrament, we pray, we give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabbath, heaven and earth are full of the glory of your name. Daily, at least 4 to 5 times, I follow the example of Luther and pray, Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. I find myself, in fact, repeating that prayer at least 3 or 4 times each morning. And each night, I pray the evening version of that prayer before I go to sleep. And I really haven't counted the number of times that we pray that prayer here in chapel. In our chapel services. Day after day and week after week, I acknowledge that angels are a necessary part of my life. So for me, as well as probably for you, singing with the angels, that's my experience with them. Which leads me to ask, have any of you ever seen an angel? What did the angel look like? Did it have wings? I have to admit that I have never seen an angel, but I have been where they have been. Yes, I have been where they have been. You don't believe me? Well, what about this? I have been at the scene of accidents where the only explanation for a person's survival had to be the protection of an angel. What about you? God's protection through angels should not surprise us. Did he not promise he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways? Now, artists have depicted angels with a number and a multitude of forms, with wings, as warriors, and so on. The writer of Revelation uses a dragon to describe Satan, the chief of the evil angels. Again, I say, scary. Yes, scary. And the fighting that went on in heaven between Satan and Michael is also beyond my imagination. And why did God allow it? That same question can be asked about war today. Why does God not stop the senseless bloodshed that goes on in our world today? Why does he not use Michael today as he did when somewhere at the beginning he cast Satan out of heaven? I must admit, though, that the thought of war in heaven turns me off even more than the wars in our world that never seem to end. Maybe we need to pray to God to send Michael to get rid of it all. But God doesn't work that way. While he does send his angels to protect us, while he does listen to our prayer, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me," he himself intervened in the battle between Michael and Satan by sending the Christ, the Lamb of God. With the death of the Lamb came God's victory over Satan. Jesus describes that victory when in Luke's gospel records him as saying, "I saw Satan fall as lightning." And that victory still goes on today as in our world yields itself before the march of good. So the victory is God's. And just before this section of Revelation, he announces that victory as the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were with a loud voice in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The war is over. That's how I would interpret this. The war is over. What good news those words are when one of this world's wars is over. What better news when we hear again and again that Christ's death and resurrection guarantees for us the victory. It's the victory over sin and death and Satan. The war is over. The war is over. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.